The New Grad Physio podcast is hosted by Andy Barker, consultant MSK and sports physiotherapist, private practice owner and the founder of the New Grad Physio. Having experienced his own rapid rise from student to dream job just 15 months after graduating, Andy knows exactly what it takes to accelerate your skills and fly up the promotion ladder faster than you ever thought possible. Having previously worked in his dream role at the Leeds Rhinos as the head of physio and rehab, Andy now consults with a number of individual elite athletes and within professional rugby, football and dance whilst running his own group of private practice clinics. He started the New Grad Physio to help student and new grad therapists just like you overcome the specific challenges you face at the start of your therapy career, helping you to dodge the common pitfalls that can cause confusion and overwhelm with your clinical practice and stop you getting the patient results and the jobs or promotions you deserve. This podcast will deliver you actionable advice, will help you make sense of your patient assessments, reason your treatments, and patient rehab to get results well beyond your level of experience. You will also discover what you need to do to open doors, to create opportunities for yourself, so you can enjoy the best possible start to life as a new grad physio. So, let's get started.
Hello and welcome to the New Grad Physio podcast. I am Andy Barker, sport and MSK physio and founder and author of the New Grad Physio. So something a little bit different this week. On the episode, what I'm going to do is talk through a case study, and I picked low back pain, and I picked low back pain for a reason, because it's probably the area of the body I get the most questions about. And I'll sort of paint this picture for you. You know, you're in the clinic, you see that referral, it's on the calendar, there's a sheet on your desk, and it's a lower back pain patient. You go into the appointment, you know, you've maybe got 30 seconds or so to think about what's going to happen, and you're running through those red flag questions in your head. You remind yourself of the most common injuries and pathologies that you might need to look for with lower back pain. You go into the clinic room, you know, you open the door, let your patient in, you pull back the curtain, and the assessment starts. You get to the end of it, and you know, it doesn't go to plan. You're on your way home, you're driving home, you maybe even laid in bed at night, and you try to think, you know, what was it that was missing from that patient's assessment? You know, what didn't go as well as you would have liked? And this is tough, because all you want to do as a physio is you want to help the patients that you're working with. You want to be able to make sense of their symptoms, give them a diagnosis, give them a prognosis, and help them and get them out of pain and get them back doing the things that I really want to do. And when you can't do that, it's pretty tough. And whether you're a new grad, whether you're an experienced physio, it's exactly the same. When you can't help the patients you're working with, it's tough, and it's really, really, really challenging. And you know, you're going to have more instances like this as a new grad. You're going to make more mistakes. You're going to be able to help or not able to help a larger percentage of patients than a more experienced therapist, in theory. Not always the case, but in general, you know, you're going to have more of these problems as a new grad physio, sports therapist, and sports rehabilitator. So going back, you know, you're driving home, you're laying in bed, you think you asked all the right red flag questions to rule out corduroy equina with a lower back pain patient. And maybe although it wasn't as smooth as you would like, you know, your subjective into your objective, you know, you feel as though you covered all the main bits in your patient assessment, but you still question yourself whether or not you gave your patient the right diagnosis. And maybe even question if your patient actually believed you when you told them they had, you know, facet joint pain or a spondy-type condition or whatever it is that you diagnosed them with. Maybe you worry about your exercises and the rehab exercises that you chose for your patient. Probably, no doubt you were rushed at the end of the session. You probably had a minute or two to run through some rehab. You really wanted to send them away with some exercises to help them. But in all honesty, are they the right ones? You question yourself, you ask yourself, you know, is your patient going to turn up at their next appointment the next week, you know, the week after, whenever that may be, and have those exercises actually flared them up? So rather than actually help them, your patient might actually walk into their next appointment worse than when they first came to see you. So, you know, making sense of all this can be really challenging, and especially because the bar is set so high. So you're taught at university, as I was, that at the end of your initial assessment, you need to have been able to nail the diagnosis and tell your patient what that is, tell your patient how many sessions that they may need, talk through, you know, an overview of their treatment plan, explain the main, you know, milestones and progressions that they'll make to get them back to their desired outcome, whatever that may be, and have time to give them some exercises to go away with. On top of that, in some environments, particularly in private practice and particularly in sport, you probably almost feel as well that you need to give them some hands-on work as well. So fitting all this in, you know, a diagnosis, a prognosis, a treatment plan overview, rehab, exercise and provision, you know, some hands-on work, all in the same, you know, appointment in initial assessment. And you might have 30 minutes, you might have 45 minutes, even if you've got an hour, that's a lot of stuff to get through and to do it really well. So doing this, you know, on paper, what you were taught to do at university, and actually doing it in real life are two very different things. And if you're a new grad physio, you know exactly what I mean, because putting what you know as a new grad into practice is the hardest thing. It's just bridging this gap between what you've learned at university and the limited experience that you've got to actually becoming a competent and confident new grad physio. So case studies are a really good way to do this. And, you know, with a case study, you can see a patient, you see all their, you know, assessment findings, you can review this, and then you can clinically reason what you would do in the same situation, all without actually having the pressure and having that patient stood there in front of you, you know, asking you those difficult questions, you know, asking you what's going on, asking what their diagnosis is, asking you to explain something again. You know, you don't have that pressure, but you can still do the same clinical reasoning. And this is the reason why I post a real life case study of a patient or an athlete that I've seen recently in the clinic or with one of the teams that I've been working with each and every week in my new grad physio membership. So I post it in the private members group. And then what I do later in the week is then do a clinical reasoning session. So I'll post the patient information on a Monday, and then I'll give the members 4 days to respond. And then on the Friday, I'll produce a short video, which basically goes through, you know, step by step, what the diagnosis was, what the prognosis was, what hands-on, what rehab would maybe work for this particular patient. So again, I'll pose a couple of questions each and every week, and they'll be slightly different, but the main theme is about finding the right diagnosis, being able to plan a treatment and rehab plan for the patient, and using a real life example to show how this is done in real life. So it's not, you know, what the textbooks say and what the journals say. And obviously we use evidence-based, you know, practice, but it's showing how sometimes patients can be different. Patients are going to present differently to the case studies you were told about at university. You know, they're not textbook and journal led. You know, the real life people who have different past medical histories, they want to get back to different things, do different sports, have different hobbies, have different occupations, sleep differently to these sort of made up, you know, case studies that we were taught, you know, from the textbooks. So it's being able to have a process to assess, to treat, and to rehab that can be adaptable to any patient that you see. And when you see how it works with, you know, simple and complex cases in the form of case studies, can be a really effective way to do this. So the case I posted this week in the members group was a low back pain patient. So, and what I'm going to do now is run through a summary of the main findings of her initial assessment, and then you can try and make sense and reason it yourself and see if you come to the same conclusion. So this was a 36-year-old female complaining of central lower back pain. She reported falling over in a night out. We've all done it. Directly onto her right side around 6 weeks ago. Initially, her right side and her right lower back were sore for a few days after this incident, but this seemed to resolve of its own accord, and she didn't have to do anything, she didn't get any physio or any intervention to do this. So she got back into exercise, which for her was fitness classes, running, kickboxing with no issues. However, 10 days ago, she woke up with right-sided low back pain. She had trained the night before and done a kickboxing class, but notes there was no injury in the session. Her back felt fine after the session. She just woke up the next day with this right-sided back pain. This pain has sort of lingered around, but now actually feels a bit more central. So rather than just being the right side, it feels like it's more central in her lower lumbar area. She's struggling with sleep a little bit, so she struggles to get off to sleep. She sleeps on her front, but once she's actually asleep, she generally sleeps okay. And the two main things that aggravate her at the moment are standing for longer than 20 minutes and walking for longer than 45 minutes. She's got a history of low back pain, which was both during and postpartum, so post-pregnancy, with her two children. One of them was a natural birth and one was a cesarean birth. But she's had no back issues for the last 3 years until this most recent episode. So that's her subjective. You know, if you need to listen again, just maybe roll back, note down some of the main points. Her objective assessment, so when I looked at her walk assessment, looked at her gait, she was walking with a rounded sort of thoracic sort of pattern. In terms of her global movement and how she was carrying her weight in her feet, so she had a 60-50 split. So she had 60% of weight in her left foot, 50% of weight in her right foot in terms of foot pressure, and she felt that the weight was predominantly in her heels. She had pain end of range into right lumbar side flexion, right lumbar rotation, and particularly into extension. And all those above movements brought on the patient's lower back pain. Range of movement testing, she had pain in her lower back when she was brought into end of range left and right hip flexion. So when she came to left hip flexion and she came to right hip flexion, it brought on pain in her lower back. She had reduced core motor output and right lateral hip motor output. If you don't know what motor output is, I'm not going to go through it in this particular episode, but it's basically a different way to test muscle strength. You might use the Oxford sort of scale, 5 out of 5. I don't use that scale because I find it has some big flaws in the way that we test. So I use a slightly different way of muscle testing called motor output testing. But for argument's sake and for listening to this, if you're not aware of what that is, just say here she's got reduced core and right lateral hip muscle control or muscle strength, if you want to call it that. And then in terms of observation and palpation, the patient is tender on palpation of her QLs, so quadratus lumborum, with increased muscle tone visible on both sides. So what do you think is going on? What do you think could be going on with this patient? And secondly, what would your early treatment and rehab focus on with this particular patient? So these are the two exact questions I asked and the exact case study that I posted in my membership earlier in the week. So what I'd like to do is, again, you can listen back to the case study, take the subjective and the objective information. And what I want you to do is reach out to me. I want you to send me an email or reach out to me on social media with what you think the diagnosis is and then what potentially you would be looking to work on in those first couple of sessions. So treatment and or rehab, whatever your preference is, whatever you think might work best for this patient. So number one, what you think's going on, i.e. what the diagnosis is. And number two, what your early treatment and rehab would focus on with this patient. So you can email me, andy@newgraphphysio.com, or hit me up on social media. So I am @newgraphphysio on both Instagram and Facebook. I am Andy Barker on LinkedIn. Just send me the answers to those questions. So the diagnosis and then what your early treatment and rehab would focus on with this particular case. And then what I'll do is I'll get right back to you. I'll let you know if you are on the right line. So case studies are great. You know, that's the reason I post them in the membership. I post the questions on a Monday, and then I post a short clinical reasoning video each and every Friday with all the answers. And the beauty of this is you have the chance to clinically reason how would you manage a patient. So if that patient walks in your clinic the next day, you'd be better prepared to deal with that patient. And you can build your skills, build your knowledge without the pressure of having that patient sat in front of you, you know, asking those tricky questions, you know, what's going on? What's my diagnosis? When do you think I'll be back at work? When do you think I'll be back running? When I'm going to be back playing sport or in the gym or whatever it is, all those tricky questions that patients ask us, you get to practice all these. So when it does happen and the patient does have those questions for you, you've got the knowledge, the skills and the confidence to actually answer them in, you know, competently and in a confident way and give them the answers that your patient needs. If you want access to this and you want to get, you know, the, you know, upgrade your skills, your knowledge base, and get access to real life case studies each and every week like this, so you can actually learn to apply the knowledge and skills you already have and learn new knowledge and skills as well at the same time on real patients, then head to newgraphphysio.com/membership. You find all the details about the NewGraphPhysio membership, what it's about, what you get access to, including, you know, the case studies, and you can find out if you might be suitable. So again, head to newgraphphysio.com/membership. If you're interested and you want to find out more, then just fill in the short form at the bottom of the page, ask for your name, email, a couple of other questions, really quick to do. It'll take you 30 seconds. I get sent to me directly and I will reply to you in person and I'll let you know whether or not you might be suitable for the membership. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode, a little bit different to what we've done in the past on the New Grad Physio podcast. So I hope you can take a lot from it, whether that's reaching out to me, you know, to find out if you're on the right lines of the case study, you know, and I'd love to hear from you if you're interested in joining me and all the other therapists that are part of the NewGraphPhysio membership, getting ahead of the game, learning new skills, and ultimately being better at applying what they know to real patients and real athletes in the real world. So again, I really appreciate your time and attention for joining me on the NewGraphPhysio podcast. I hope you have a fantastic day, whatever you have planned, and I will speak to you again very soon.
Thanks for listening to the New Grad Physio podcast. Before you head off, I just wanted to make sure you did not miss this. Alongside his podcast, Andy posts a weekly blog on his website, www.newgradphysio.com. You can access all his blogs and loads more resources like his recent PDF, The 5 Breakthrough Steps to Confidently Treat the Shoulder Right Every Time, Avoid Mistakes and Stop You Feeling Less Adequate Than Other New Grads. This is Andy's most popular resource and has already been accessed by thousands of therapists just like you. To get a copy of this PDF or to get more information about Andy's upcoming courses or find out more about his New Grad Physio membership, head to www.newgradphysio.com. Have a great day and we will catch you on the next podcast episode.